Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
What does it take to be remembered as notable? In the Bible, tucked away in the second book of Kings, there's a brief story about a woman who wasn't royalty, wasn't Jewish, and wasn't connected to any famous lineage. Yet her courage and faith made history. Author Don Anderson joins us to talk about a notable woman, his powerful reimagining of that mysterious figure. Through the character of Marta, we witness a young girl forced into marriage who grows into a bold, fearless woman whose life is forever changed after an encounter with the prophet Elijah. A story of heartbreak, quiet strength, and the kind of faith that refuses to give up. Drawing from his time stationed in the Middle East during Desert Storm, Don brings cultural authenticity and vivid historical detail to every page. Critics praise the novel's emotional depth, historical accuracy, and powerful portrayal of resilience in the face of injustice. If you love biblical fiction, stories of strong women, and narratives that explore faith under pressure, this conversation will inspire you. A reminder that sometimes the greatest heroes are the quietest ones. We welcome Don Anderson, author of A Notable Woman, to our program. Don, a pleasure to have you with us. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
It is our pleasure. What a remarkable story you tell in this book. The book, by the way, available wherever books are sold, and we'll give you that information as we go through the program. There's this mysterious woman who's not named, and you had to name her to write this book story. How did you come up with the name Marta?
Well, Marta is ancient Aramaic for head of the house.
Ah.
And so that's where I came out. I did a lot of research to try to find a name that would match this woman's personality and audacity. And that's the one that I came up with.
There are so many strong moments in the book where we're so impressed with Marta and the audacity that she displays, what she's able to overcome. What do you think is the strongest moment, or maybe a couple of strongest moments in the book that really impress people?
Okay, the strongest moment in the book is when her son died, sitting on her lap, and I figure he was about 5 or 6 years old. And what would be the normal reaction of a person whose dream just died sitting in their lap? Normally you would think they would cry out, they would look for help somewhere. Marta just sat there for a while, then did the smartest thing, because in those days, if you died in the morning, or even today in a lot of parts of the Middle East, if you die in the morning, you're buried by afternoon, you're buried by evening. So she didn't want him buried. So what did she do? She thought it out and took her son to the prophet's room, laid him on the prophet's bed, shut the door behind him, knowing nobody would dare touch that room because they were scared of the prophet. But the strength that must have taken, the absolute fortitude that woman had in that point in time, that amazed me.
Our guest on the program is Don Anderson. The book is A Notable Woman, book available wherever books are sold. His Amazon page, a direct link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And his website is donandino.com. That link as well on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. What qualities made the Shunammite woman notable in your eyes? What jumped out at you as notable that got your attention and got your attention to write a book about it?
Well, it was funny how the book came about. A friend of mine, we were on staff together at a church in Florida, and he asked me, "Don, do you have any heroes?" I said, "Heroes? Never thought of it." And I just happened to be reading this part of the book, and all of a sudden it was like my eyes opened up to what was being said between the lines. Every time she was challenged, she met it with strength and fortitude. And that really impressed me. And then as I looked at it more, I realized that she was leading a very difficult life with a very difficult husband. And she still managed to keep her character, stay true to herself. And that impressed me.
In the book, you paint her husband as a villain, since he's based on a biblical character. How did you come to that conclusion? How did you decide to define him?
Well, a couple of things. Number one, when Martha's servant took the son out to watch his father work in the fields, and the boy got sick, and he says, "My head hurts, my head hurts." And the father said, "Take him to his mom. No concern at all." When the boy died and Martha asked if she could go see the prophet, he says, "Boy, there's no festival, no new moon. Not one question about the child." Martha has a guy that's coming by the house on a regular basis, and she invites him into dinner, and he has dinner with her on a regular basis, but not her husband. He's never there. Elisha never met her husband. And then she asked to have a room built for this man to live in their house for a while whenever he came into town. And then she says, when the son dies, "Can I go see the prophet?" And the old man doesn't even ask or is not suspicious at all. In other words, "I have dinner with this guy. We're moving into the house, and I want to go spend the weekend with him." And he says nothing about it. That's not very cool.
No, that falls in the uncool category most definitely. What do you think, who do you think Martha would be today? What would be her occupation if she lived in today's world? I like her qualities. I like the audacity, a word that you used in the beginning. What would she be today? Who would she be today?
Politician.
Very good. Senator.
She would be a great senator, even a great president.
President, no, yes.
Not fearful, audacious, very sound-minded, and feet on the earth kind of person who's not intimidated by anybody that I saw. So I think she would make an excellent politician.
Let's go back in time. And first, let's set the time for this. What time period are we talking about, and what location are we talking about?
835 B.C., approximately 835 B.C.
And how... Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, 835. When I, and a little side note, when we were first trying to figure out the cover of the book, the first one they showed me was a woman standing in front of aluminum windows. This is not quite period specific.
Yeah, impact window. So, she was visiting in Florida, so we kept the picture when she was
all
there.
In the background.
I like the picture. I like seeing Martha. That really gives you this visual impression of who she is. How uncommon was it to have someone of her nature during that particular point in time in history?
Oh, my gosh. Not common at all. She goes to the prophet's room when he calls her up to ask her what he can do for her. She walks right, he's laying in bed, and she walks right up to the edge of the bed without a chaperone or escort or anything. That would have gotten most women killed in those days. Her second time she goes to the room, she stops at the door. She knows something's up. But she social decorum was not her strong suit, for sure. she was not intimidated by any social norms, and that made her stand out too. I mean, when she walked into the prophet's room, and I knew exactly what that entailed, I said, "No, that is unusual. That is really, really unusual." So, excuse me, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, when you were bringing Martha to life, creating these qualities of her to tell the story in the book, A Notable Woman, based on anybody you know, have you known Martha's in your life?
Oh, yes, yes. There was once when I worked in intensive care, I was a medic in the Air Force, and I worked intensive care, and there was this lady from France who was in World War II, had lost everything, and lost all her relatives and stuff. But she was as strong as a rock. She really was. She said, "I have lived a life. I have lived a wonderful life. I have lived a tragic life, but I have lived a life." And she just impressed me. She's always stuck out on my mind. And then this is 50 years ago. So she was, yeah, that would be the woman that I would. Now my wife, yeah, but she was a little bit more socially conscious.
The book is a notable woman where Marta comes to life by the creation of Don Anderson, the author and our guest on the program. What lessons in her story are most relevant to women today? I mean, this is a great reflection on who she was at the time, but boy, there are lessons that we all could learn today, aren't there?
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Never lose yourself. Be true to yourself. To be true to who you are and what you are, and try. And I don't think Marta ever made excuses for her situation. She just lived with him, and used those situations. So, staying true to yourself, staying honest with yourself, I think that's and not being intimidated out of being yourself. I think those are tremendous lessons to learn.
You have her almost break at one point in the book. Why?
Well, I wanted to show that she was human. She was strong, but she had her limits. We all have our limits.
Yes.
We all have our place where, and where we can take so much for so long, and then we either start to rebel or we start to break. And she started to break until she had a visitation, and then all of a sudden she knew that everything was going to be okay. But for a while there, she was in an absolutely horrible position she could do nothing about. And but she was taking she just demonstrated who she was
Yes.
again.
Why is this story? It's sort of, I don't want to say a footnote, but it's not a major story, but it's a story that a lot of people remember maybe vaguely, but it's still in their minds. What do you think this story of Calder Marta has been around for so long and still known to many people?
Well, I think probably because the most of the story is hidden between the lines. But if you start looking at the story and think between the lines, but there's so many stories that are brief stories that have little impact in the Bible. And she wasn't a hero. She wasn't the mother or the grandmother or any ancestry of any kind, anybody special. So it's easy to just look past that. The story becomes about Elisha, not necessarily about her, because Elisha raises her son from the dead, and the story is focused on Elisha, but they don't normally focus on her at all. And I'm matter of fact, the first message I ever preached was on this lady. But that's why I think that
She really made an impact on you, didn't she, as you were reading the Bible? Was that the first time through the Bible? Was that something that jumped out at you, or as you went back over the years, was it something that developed?
I must have read the Bible, I don't know how many, maybe 100 times. I read it every day, and read it out loud so that the story comes more alive to me. But yeah, she impressed me. And I'd read that story maybe 50 times before it finally just dawned on me, this is special. But how many times have you read something again for the first time?
Yes.
And that was what it was. I was reading something again for the first time. I was reading it through new eyes, and it was really good.
Well, you share that with all of us. It's a remarkable story. The book is available wherever books are sold. A Notable Woman by Don Anderson, our guest on the program. Book available at Amazon, Barnes and Noble, usual places. Don's website, donanddino, DENO.com. Links on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. What are you working on now? I'm assuming you're working on something. You're a very gifted writer and brought this story alive. Are you working on a sequel or another story?
Well, I am going to do a sequel. I've had more people call me and ask me, and friends of mine ask me, "Are you going to do a sequel? What happened? What's the rest of the story?" And so, But I'm working on a book right now called The Centurion, and it's about the centurion that was standing at the foot of the cross when Jesus died and
Yes.
said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." But there's a place in that book where the centurion in the Bible, where the centurion meets Jesus and has his servant healed. Then the centurion stands in front of the cross and sees all these miracles happen and says, "Truly, this was the Son of God." And then the centurion who was in Caesarea, Cornelius the centurion, it came to me that they're all the same man. They're all the same man. It's one long story. And I'm doing a story on that. The reason I say that is because how would a man standing at the foot of the cross attribute miracles that are happening out there to a criminal hanging around the cross behind him, unless he had prior knowledge of the man?
Yes. Fascinating. I'm looking forward to that story as well.
I'm on chapter 28 of that
I
one,
was going to
so.
ask how far you've come. How many chapters are you planning?
Well, I'm trying to make it less than 50.
Okay, so you're over halfway there. That's one way to look at it, and look forward to maybe having a chance to talk about that as well. What goes into your research in putting these stories together? I mentioned that that's one of the things that reviewers were so highly praising you for with this story. A notable woman was the research that went into that, the feel that we were almost there. And I'll ask you about that in a second because you were in that area for a number of years in the Middle East. What kind of research goes into your books? When do you get to the point where you're satisfied that I think I've captured the essence of the story?
I am a history buff, and the Middle East history and Roman history fascinated me. I was actually in deserts. I was over in Saudi Arabia for 6 months, but we had several months where nothing was going on, and I got to know some of the people in the area and
What
question again.
impact did that have
Oh,
and
research.
research and how you thoroughly, meticulously researched this to make the book, it's fiction, but it's highly plausible, and we feel like you were there sort of taking notes as all these scenes were unfolding.
I'm not a computer geek, but the computer was very helpful in me doing the research about. That's when I found out that Shunem was not a Jewish town, but it was a Canaanite royal city with its own king and its own army that were vassals of Israel. But I did about 2 years' worth of research, read Tychicus and other historians about the Roman Empire. Then I read a lot of stuff about the battles of the Romans and stuff. And but that was about 2 years worth of research for the about the centurion, the Shunammite woman. That was about 6 months worth of research.
Well, and it brings everything come alive. As you read all of the reviews, it's like you're there and the story is unfolding and you feel like you know Marta and what she's going through. One of the themes is the conversation you have about how faith shapes character under pressure. Let's talk about that, how important that is, and is that something you see in your daily life as a pastor working with people that courage and faith really gets them through difficult, pressure-packed situations.
Yes, I mean, I'm even in my own situation. I'm suffering from Parkinson's, and but it's faith. I'm not worried about it, and I think that people who have faith don't worry as much, and can absorb so many more shocks to their system, to their life, than normal. And as long as you have a bedrock, a foundation that's unmovable. And that would be faith, then you can take on a lot of stuff. And I've watched people who have little faith, who grew in faith, who had little faith that gave up. And I really admire the ones that had no faith and grew faith, but I also really feel so hard for the people, so heartbroken for the people who have no faith and then give up. So I've watched a lot of that over the years, especially as a medic in the Air Force and stuff. And I worked at a mental health hospital for a while too and watched it.
So all of that has shaped who you are as a pastor and certainly as an author. And we talked a little bit beforehand, and so sorry to hear about the Parkinson's, but I really admire the smile on your face and the way you're going about tackling something. And it's sort of like Marta went through life with this resilience as well, didn't she? Are you tapping into your inner Marta to get through this?
That's it. I am calling on Marta every day.
I just love your attitude and love what you've done in bringing this story to life. What do you hope the takeaway is? It's a remarkable story, and people will read it and be entertained and enjoy the story. But there's so much more to that by letting Marta into their lives and let her shape their lives. What do you hope the takeaway is when people finish reading A Notable Woman?
Oh, wow. For me, writing the book, I knew that I had to tell her story. And I tried several times to start, but I had to tell her story. People that read the book, I hope they take away the fact that standing firm, standing strong is important. Standing for yourself is important. And using wisdom while you're doing it is important. Not just being stubborn, but being wise at the same time. And she struck me as that.
And there is a difference between being stubborn and being wise. And I like that you said that. How important is that for young women today and what we're going through in society to give them the encouragement to be strong, to fight for what you believe, to be yourself, to be who you want to be?
I think it's vastly important for the youth period, but young women especially, that are so easily led by events instead of sitting there and thinking out and listening to or looking at the whole situation and coming to a different conclusion than violence and rhetoric and, you know, just knowing that there's an answer, and the answer isn't always the obvious. The answer sometimes is hidden in the future, and you got to wait, and you got to wait on it. And so that's what I hope that that's what people do. They start in number one being strong, and number two not jumping to conclusions too early. And that's, I guess, that's part of the story in the book too.
Well, it is, and I'm glad that we're sort of ending on a high note with that message. And I asked that about what the impact this would have on young women and shaping them. Forget women, for young people shaping them and allowing everybody to be who they want to be and treat everybody as equal and encourage everybody to be exactly who they want to be and participate in life.
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you.
The book is so well written, A Notable Woman, award-winning book. Book is by Don Anderson, our guest on the program. His website is donandino.com. You'll go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, link on directly to his Amazon page and his website. A great place to check Don and his writing when the next book will be available by going to his website. I'd like to thank Olympus Storyhouse for arranging our conversation today. Unleashing the power of your stories to achieve the recognition they deserve, Olympus Storyhouse. Don, it's been a pleasure. Excellent job in writing the book. You'll be in our thoughts as well. Thank you so much for being with us on the program. Hopefully, we'll continue with part two. Thank you for being with us.
I was just going to say that. Hopefully, I can sit down with you again sometime and talk about that book.
Looking forward to that and the remarkable stories that you tell in this book, A Notable Woman, book available again wherever books are sold, like on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. More on today's program right after these messages. Don't go away.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.